and for just individual women to continue their fitness struggle in the digital era. Indonesia and the US are still discussing tariff issues with no deal reached yet. I'm Ray, and this is the News and Details. Indonesia and the US are still negotiating tariffs, with most Indonesian products now facing a 10% increase, except steel, aluminium, and automotive goods. I'm Yerong Doni with the reports.
The Indonesian government is still in active negotiations with the United States regarding the tariff policy imposed by the US. Director General of International Trade Negotiations at the Ministry of Trade, Jatmiko Bris Wicaksono, on Monday confirmed that no agreement has been reached yet on the ongoing discussions. The US government has imposed three rounds of tariff increases, with the first being a 10% rise in the basic tariff, followed by reciprocal and sectoral tariffs. According to Jatmiko, Indonesia has been significantly impacted by the increase in the basic tariff on all products entering the US, with the exception of steel, aluminium, automotive products, and automotive components. The government is currently in talks with the United States government, and the negotiations are still ongoing. There has been no agreement yet. Last week, the Korean minister provided an update directly from Washington, D.C., after meeting with the USTR and the U.S. Department of Commerce, so this matter remains dynamic. We are still waiting for the negotiations and discussions with the U.S. government. The tariffs imposed on Indonesian products are based on the MFN, most favored nation status, plus 10%, depending on the product. All are subject to this 10% increases, except for steel, aluminium, automotive products, and automotive components. Jatmiko Bris Wicaksono also emphasized that the Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Trade, is committed to providing transparent information regarding the U.S. tariff policy to prevent any misinformation or misperceptions, particularly within the business community.
Indonesia's coordinating minister for food affairs, Zulkifli Hasan, expressed optimism that Indonesia will not need to import rice until 2026. Dora Parmire has the details.
Coordinating minister for food affairs, Zulkifli Hasan, announced that Indonesia's rice stock as of the end of April has reached 3 million tons. He made the statement during his speech at the National Mandate Party, PAN, Halal Bihalal event in Jakarta on Sunday. Reflecting on last year's import figures, Zulkifli highlighted a significant improvement. In 2024, Indonesia imported approximately 3.6 million tons of rice. However, with the current supply levels, he expressed confidence that the country will not need to import rice through to the end of 2026.
Whereas last year we imported almost 3.6 million tons, so before the end of April 2025, God willing, I can say that our rice stock will last until the end of 2026. We won't need to import rice again.
Zulkifli Hasan also emphasized that food security goes beyond just rice or carbohydrates. It must also include protein sources. To address this, he said the government, in collaboration with the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, plans to focus on boosting national protein production. As part of this initiative, the ministry is set to develop 20,000 hectares of fish ponds, supporting both food security and the local economy through increased fish farming. Dora Parmire for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Malaysian government will send vocational students to study in Indonesia. Ramasuki Pratama brings the latest.
Indonesia's Vice President Gibran Raka Buming Raka welcomed Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi at the Vice Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Monday, April 21st. During the meeting, both leaders explored a range of bilateral cooperation opportunities, including a new initiative in technical and vocational education and training, or TVET. According to Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Cultural Affairs, Pratikno, the two countries agreed to strengthen educational ties through vocational training programs.
Dibahas juga mengenai kerjasama untuk technical vocational.
They also discussed cooperation in technical and vocational education and training, or TVET, focusing on educational and training partnerships in vocational fields. As part of this, Malaysia will send students to Indonesia, particularly to institutes of technology and several universities across Indonesia. In addition to the TVET initiative, Malaysia expressed interest in enhancing agricultural cooperation with Indonesia. Dato' Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi noted that Malaysia seeks to learn from Indonesia's success in producing high-quality agricultural products. Other areas of cooperation discussed during the meeting included the development of the halal industry, palm oil production, and joint support for Palestine. Ramasuki Pratama reporting for Voice of Indonesia.
Minister of Communication and Digital encourages Indonesian women to continue grappling the struggle in the digital era. Amir Omdoni has the details.
Minister of Communication and Digital Mutia Hafid has called on Indonesians to carry forward the spirit of Raden Ajeng Kartini amid the country's rapid digital transformation. Speaking in a visual statement monitored from Jakarta on Monday, Mutia said that Kartini Day serves as a meaningful reminder of the pioneering efforts that laid the foundation for equality, education, and progress for women in Indonesia.
Mari, kita lanjutkan aksi Minister Kartini struggle with a new spirit, empowered women in the digital era, children are protected, and Indonesia advances with technology. Happy Kartini Day, empowered women, protected children, Indonesia advances in the digital era.
Mutia emphasized that digitalization brings great opportunities not only for economic growth but also for expanding access to education, jobs, and innovation, especially for women and children. With the right support, digital platforms can empower them to learn, work, and create without limits. At the same time, she warned of the challenges in the digital space, particularly the risk of harmful content and online violence affecting children. To address this, the ministry is strengthening child protection through education, regulation, and collaboration, while also encouraging more women to take leading roles in technology, innovation, and digital leadership.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. In commemoration of National Consumer Day, April 20th, Indonesia's Minister of Trade, Budi Santoso, emphasized the importance of public awareness regarding consumers' rights and responsibilities. More details are provided by Dora Parmire.
Minister of Trade, Budi Santoso, attended the Indonesian Smart Consumer Action held at Sarina, Jakarta on Sunday, in celebration of National Consumer Day, which is observed every year on April 20th. During the event, Minister Santoso underscored the vital role consumers play in Indonesia's economy, noting that household consumption consistently remains the largest contributor to the country's gross domestic product. He stated that National Consumer Day is not merely a ceremonial observance, but a valuable opportunity to raise public awareness of consumers' rights and responsibilities.
Jadi Hari Konsumen Nasional tidak sekedar kita peringati. National Consumer Day is not just a commemoration, but a good momentum for all of us. We are all consumers, so we must understand our rights and obligations.
Kita harus tahu hak dan kewajiban kita sebagai konsumen itu seperti apa.
Minister Santoso further stressed the need for consumers to become smarter and more empowered, especially in today's digital era. He outlined several key principles that digital consumers should keep in mind, including being critical of information, understanding their rights and responsibilities, making wise transaction decisions, and utilizing official government complaint channels for consumers' protection. This initiative serves as a reminder that informed and empowered consumers are essential to building a fair, safe, and sustainable digital economy. Dora Parmire for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, Ministers Women Empowerment Arifa Khoiri Fauzi emphasizes that women and Gen Z are foul pillars in shaping the future of golden Indonesia 2045. Ofra Regina with the reports.
Indonesia's Minister of Women's Department and Child Protection, Arifa Khoiri Fauzi, emphasized the vital role of women and the younger generation in shaping the nation's future. Speaking at the Kadri Day 2025 celebration and the launch of the 1,000 Women in Gen Z Proficiency Initiative held in Jakarta on Monday, he stated that today's Indonesian women are not only participants, but also key agents of change across various sectors of national development.
Kegiatan ini menjadi wujud nyata semangat kolaborasi lintas organisasi.
This event reflects a real spirit of collaboration across organization and generation, showcasing the diversity of women's roles in all areas of life. Through this forum, Khoiri Fauzi shown to still life on the action and achievements of today's women, including the younger generation who are full of potential and hope in shaping golden Indonesia 2045.
Arifa also highlighted Kadri as a symbol of courage and thinking, at a young age, Khoiri dared to speak out against the injustices faced by women and her nation. Firmly believing that no country could advance without the empowerment of its women, had hoped, written the letters to Mrs. Abinganon, and a letter compiled in the book From Darkness to Light, will continue to inspire Indonesian women and Gen Z figures to step forward, raise their voices, and lead with purpose.
Next up, we present the Voice of Indonesia's commentary titled Indonesian Women for Indonesia's Golden Generations with Anna Prijayakasih.
This commentary is on Indonesian Women for Indonesia's Golden Generation. Every April 21st, Indonesia commemorates Kartini Day to celebrate the services of Raden Ajeng Kartini, a figure who was a pioneer in the struggle for women's rights in Indonesia. Born in Jepara on April 21st, 1879, from a noble family, Raden Ajeng Kartini didn't have the same opportunities as men, especially in education. Raden Ajeng Kartini only received education until the age of 12. The customary tradition that prevailed at that time, as a noble woman, Kartini had to be secluded and could not continue her education. The struggle for gender equality was brought into letters to her friends in the Netherlands, which were later published by J.H. Abinganon, Minister of Culture, Religion, and Crafts of the Dutch East Indies, in 1900 to 1905. Now gender equality is still being fought for, and is included in one of Indonesian President Prabowo's government goal in Asta Cita or 8 Missions. Gender equality and strengthening the role of women are the fourth goal in Asta Cita. Currently, Indonesian women have the same opportunities as men and can work and play a role in every sector. Many Indonesian women have held the highest positions in various fields, even up to the positions of President, Speaker of the House, Minister, Governor, Mayor, and others. Not only domestically, Indonesian women also hold important positions in several world bodies, such as Retno Marsudi, a former foreign minister who is now a special envoy of the UN Secretary for Water Issues. The current Indonesian Minister of Finance, Sri Mulyani Indrawati, was previously the Managing Director of the World Bank. Kartini Day is always a reminder of the empowerment of Indonesian women to work in all sectors. There are at least 1,000 professions as stated in the theme of the Kartini Day commemoration held by the Ministry of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection together with the Indonesian Women's Congress on April 21st, 2025 in Jakarta, namely, realizing Asta Cita by presenting 1,000 women's and Gen Z professions. Although now having the same opportunity as men to play a role, the struggle of Indonesian women is not over yet. There is a task that determines the future of Indonesia, namely strengthening human resource development for Indonesia Emas or Golden Indonesia, which is an ideal to become an advanced, prosperous, and socially just country in 2045. Women play a major role in preparing the next generation to become skilled experts, strong characterized, and superior human resources. Efforts to do this must start from women themselves, by ensuring their health, education, developing their skills, and expertise. Happy Kartini Day, Indonesian women! That was Commentary Today!
Listeners, that commentary concludes today's news bulletin from Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Hubble. In addition, the speech is also famous for its myth, in which it is said that the cliffs fell just into the sea. This 9 kilometer spread, the ruler of the South Sea. The length of this coastline reaches 4 kilometers. If you are at the top of the hill, you can enjoy a clear view of Grand Hubble Beach, a view of the high seas onto the thick waves hitting the rocks. It's a very beautiful scenery here. Technically, in this location, there is a simple bridge, which was made by a bamboo, so you can take a walk through the flow of seawater to another end of the reef. Taking a walk along the beach for the occasional play with the crashing waves, or even sitting relaxedly while enjoying the waves and sunshine, is a fun activity on this beach.
Voice of India.
Indonesia, and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, where you are about to listen to Indonesian Wonder, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Kiro from Pasuruan District, East Jawa. Residents in Tambak Lokok Village, Lokok Sub District, Pasuruan, East Jawa, have their own way of celebrating Lebaran Ketupat, which is held 1 week after Idul Fitri, that is by holding the Kiro or Surfing on Mat competition. This competition, which has become a cultural tradition for residents for decades, is usually followed by dozens of participants from representatives of villages throughout the Lokok Sub District. The tradition of surfing on mat is a habit of residents while looking for shells and crabs on the coast. To make it easier, they use a kind of surfboard. Skillet itself comes from tuas, ski, which is a play, and in the tuas, and skillet in Madurese, which means mat. So skillet means skiing on mat. In this match, the participants who have gathered since 7 a.m. will compete quickly by surfing on the mat. To this, one leg is bent on a surfboard made of wood about 1 meter long and 45 to 50 centimeters wide, while the other leg pedals. There are no special requirements for participants to take part in this competition. You just need to be strong enough to navigate the track. Usually, the organizer provides four routes. Its track is approximately 1.5 meters wide, with a rope applied in a colorful fence. Participants simply draw lots on which route they will start. The skill competition is not only attended by adults, but also by children, who are very enthusiastic about taking part. Everyone who succeeds in becoming a champion will feel proud because he will be called a skilled and capable fisherman at work. Usually, during the skill competition, various other competitions will also be held, such as decorative boat competitions, rowing boat competition, a boat tug of war, and pencaksilat competitions. After watching the competition, which usually takes place from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., residents usually proceed to relatives' houses to celebrate the holiday. That was Indonesian Wonder today.
Voice of India.
Bye.
something. In the sentence, the expression pumatas yalan means a tool that separates fruit.
Bye.